Thank you so much. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Thomas Rickert speaking. I'd like to welcome all of you to the celebration of the 40th call of this group. And as usual, we would like to get this started by doing a roll call. We take note of all the participants in the Adobe Connect room. So those who are not in the Adobe, please do speak up if you're only on the conference bridge. And let us know that you're there so that we can add you to the list.
Thomas Charles here. I'm not on the Adobe room yet, but I will be shortly.
Okay. I'm trying to improve my sound quality as we speak, so this is going to change in a moment. Also, I'd like to ask you whether there are any updates to statements of interest. There don't seem to be any. And so we can dive directly into the second agenda item, which is an update on the progress by the different teams. So without any further ado, I would like to ask Jordan to give us a quick update on where you are. Okay, so I'm just being notified that Jordan has a technical issue. Becky, can we then move to you to give us an update on the status of your work? Not sure whether Becky is maybe not yet in the audio. She's in the room. Becky, maybe you're on. Okay, so let's test another one. Work party number three, Leon.
Hello, everyone. This is Leon Sanchez. And on working party three, we divided the work into three subgroups. So the first one being related to SONAC accountability, the second one being related to staff accountability, and the third one related to diversity. And we've held so far four calls, I believe. Yes, four calls. And we will be holding our last call before Paris later today. And we have prepared three papers that will be circulated along with the frozen document list before our meeting in Paris. And I can tell you that we have pre-final releases of these documents that will be reviewed in our call later today just to have them finalized. And that's what we have to report.
Thanks very much, Leon. I read that Steve has issues with his phone line. I'm not sure, Cheryl, whether you or Steve wanted to give us a quick update on the stress test working party.
Cheryl Langdonor here. So I can do a brief update. Steve has recently circulated our next version, which will be the version for the frozen documentation of our stress tests. We, based on last week's call, have added a number of additional stress tests in response to the public comments and also from the both the Larry Strickland-Netter and some of the board documentation. We have also put placeholders in where we haven't had actual fully blown and developed stress tests from the working party. Obviously, 90 minutes last week didn't allow us to do fully fleshed out and analysed stress tests for each of these scenarios that we have placeholders there, which all of you will be able to see in the frozen document. Obviously, our work will continue post-Paris, and in fact, as has been the case with a number of meetings, the outcomes of the mechanisms chosen and the models chosen, which hopefully will be further along with post-Paris, is integral to the way we take some of our stress tests and some of the results that we have in our stress testing that we've done to date. There will be another meeting of the stress test working party before Paris, and the staff, if I wouldn't mind, because I'm not as yet in the Adobe Connect room, if you could just put the UTC time for that one, it's within about the next 24 hours. And I just want to note that I'll actually be on a plane at that time, so Steve will be managing that call. And that's a brief update from us. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Cheryl. So we're looking forward to discussing the 9 new stress tests with the whole group on Friday in Paris. Please also do note that Kimberly has kindly announced the starting time of the stress test call in the chat section. I'm not sure whether Jordan is now audible, so can we do a little test, Jordan, please?
Testing 1, 2, 3, is that working?
That sounds perfect. Over to you.
Okay, weird. Anyway, thanks. Jordan Carter here for the records. Brief update. Working Party 1 has been focused on reviewing the content in the first comment reports, adding in the feedback received in the public comment period, and as discussed in Buenos Aires, for a second draft. I'm pretty sure that by the time of the freeze, we'll have content for the community powers for the AOC a review incorporation into the bylaws, some work on the community mechanism, on the voting weight and whether it's actually a grouping, a council or not. And so as far as I know, we're on track to provide all that content. We've done that first rather than doing replies to all the public comments. We're going to do those at and after Paris. So that's what our work has been focused on. And I think Touchwood, with a little help from a great set of people who volunteered to be lead authors, we'll have all that done in time for the freeze.
Thanks very much, Jordan. That's very helpful. Let's see whether Becky is now with us.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Perfect. Becky, now it works. Yes, we can hear you. Over to you.
Great. Sorry about that. Work Party 2 has focused largely on revising the mission statement and core values to go through all of the comments. We do have content in the mission and core values statement of the response tool, but I will now be able to update that to reflect the group's thinking and responses. And that will be done by the freeze. We have content in the reconsideration section, and I will be working today to put content in the other sections. I don't know if it will be absolutely completed by the freeze, but it should be close.
Thank you very much, Becky. Unless there are questions to the rapporteurs for the groups, I think we can move to Leon now to speak or to give us a brief update on the interaction with lawyers.
Thank you very much, Thomas. We held a couple of calls with the lawyers in order to clarify some questions they had on the assignment that was made in Buenos Aires, as well as some arising issues from Working Party 2. And we have in the call Holly and Rosemary as usual, and the objective of having them in this call is not to continue the wide discussion that we've held so far in the main issues that we've discussed with them, but rather just to give us a signal on whether they have something ready for us, for Barry's, and how are they doing progress with this last assignment that we did to them. So I'll handle the floor to Holly. Holly, could you please take the floor?
Well, thank you, Leon, and thank you, everyone. I'm looking forward greatly to getting together with you in Paris and continuing to make progress. The Adler firm and the Sidley folks have been working to revise the PowerPoint from July 7 to address the additional issues that we were asked to take on, and we will have that document ready prior to the document freeze today. In that document, what we decided to do was to revise it so that we had in one place all of the discussion around these potential models. And what we've added to it is, at your request, we've detailed out a little bit more how to consider as a third alternative the community mechanism as the sole model. In addition, we are providing a cross-model analysis in that document. We also have addressed the point that Malcolm Huddy raised of the need to take a look at Section 3 and 4 of the initial proposal and determine whether or not any of the models under discussion interact with any of those issues in a way that needs to be addressed in this document. Our overarching answer to that is that we've looked at it, and we don't think that, given the focus of this document, there's anything from those issues that we specifically need to address. But we will note that in the document. In addition, and not for the document freeze, we're working on thinking about, and we'll have a document to go over in Paris, another PowerPoint, to talk about options for ensuring that there is always a board in place, whether we call it a caretaker board or an interim board, should there be the unusual circumstances of a recall. So we're working on that at the request of the working group, the working party. And that's the update from the lawyers. I don't know if Rosemary may have something to add. Rosemary?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much, Holly and Rosemary. Is there anything that we can do to help you out on finishing your work? Are there any clarifications that you need from our side?
I don't have any specific clarifications at this point that we need. I think the directive to us has been pretty clear. I do note that there's been some email traffic around the notion of the caretaker board. I have a little bit of concern that some of the solutions that people are talking about are very, very complex. But we will take a look at that and try to incorporate that thinking into the work we're doing.
Thank you very much, Holly. Well, that's the update from the lawyers. And now I'll turn back to Mathieu for our next agenda item, the review of the Paris agenda.
Thank you very much, Leon. And hello, everyone on the call. This is Mathieu Veil speaking. I'm moving to the agenda item about the Paris meeting. So, staff, can you please upload the document that was shared with this meeting invite? So we have, based on last week's call, we have assembled a draft agenda. It's something that's worth noting is that it's still subject to change, and the first source of change is certainly going to be this discussion right now, which is designed to ensure we are capturing your expectations for the meeting. We just a reminder that the expected outcome of the Paris meeting is that we clarify which direction we're going to take on all key topics before we finalized the public comment 2 report. So there's a list of discussion topics that are still open, which we need to look at. And a point of a general point about the meeting in Paris is that it is important to keep in mind that we are already on board a process with a number of drafts that have been prepared for the initial report, but also after the first public comment, a lot of work being done by the work parties, and I was pleased to see the praise that Becky and Jordan, but also Leon for Work Parties 3, and Cheryl and Steve for the stress test we're getting for all the work they've been doing, I mean, ever since we started with the work parties, actually, never seems to end. And so I think we will need to keep in mind during the meeting in Paris that, number one, we are in a process of refinement, and we should avoid any temptation to just reinvent everything, because that's certainly not something that the timeline allows us to do at this point. And we will need to find a way to keep this focus and keep the discussion concise and focused on driving the solutions and finding the consensus. So as co-chairs, we have made preparations to use the two-minute timer clock if need be. That would obviously apply to us as well. But we are aware of the important number of issues we have to discuss and the number of topics we need to find agreement on. So that's going to be quite challenging for this meeting. So that's the two key rules would be that we keep being in refinement mode and not bringing new ideas all the time unless something is completely stuck. And we might have to use the two-minute timer if need be. I see Tijani's hand is up, so before I proceed any further, maybe Tijani, you can react.
Yes, thank you, Mathieu. Tijani speaking. You just said that we are in the refining phase. That means that we don't have to bring new ideas, etc. I think that this cannot be something absolute, because a lot of issues we didn't decide anything about, so we are not refining them, we are choosing among choices. So yes, we don't have to come up with all new things, but also we have to listen to any idea, even if it is not an old idea or something that was discussed before. If there is ideas that are interesting to listen to, that are interesting to contemplate, I think that we have to permit it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I think the point I was making was not that everything was already decided, but rather than we will not be in Paris in a position to accept new ideas that have not been documented before the meeting. So we are aware a number of new ideas are being brought up, and I think that's and there are sufficient discussions to be had, but our group will have to be reluctant because of the risks of unintended consequences, among other things, of any idea that just comes up during the meeting, and we will be cautious not to steer the conversation toward brainstorming, but rather comparing ideas and documents that have been provided before the meeting, or at least before the frozen deadline, which is tonight. Avery, you're next.
Thank you. Obviously, I have a concern, and I may be jumping the gun,
on stuff you intend to continue to present. But in some of the discussions in the working party, trying to participate in all of them, every once in a while we get to a point where either someone in the group or perhaps whoever's leading the discussion says, so maybe we want to put another question out in the second public comment. And that is the thing that concerns me, that we, instead of finding consensus points or dealing with the issue that there isn't a consensus and how do we deal with that, that we put out a second report that contains lots of questions. And what worries me about that is that almost forces a third comment period, or at least risks opening up the possibility of a third comment period, and that's something that I'm hoping we try to avoid at almost any cost. So that was just an issue I wanted to put on the table. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. That's a very fair point, and well noted, and we have to keep that in mind. Anand, you're next.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to support what Avery said, and I could live with questions coming out of this comment period if we almost make it mandatory that you have to answer A or B. You can't give a third variation. There were lots of questions we asked in this report, in this version, where out of the 60 responses or so, we got five people saying something and they said opposite. Now, do we believe that the 55 people who said nothing agreed with what we were presenting, or they just glossed over it and didn't answer? We don't have a clue. So if we do ask any questions in this final report, because we absolutely cannot come to consensus and need input, then we better do it in such a way that we have clear answers coming out. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I see Everard is suggesting, rather than time constraints, to restrict each speaker to one intervention per topic, which is quite a useful rule. I think the main thing is making sure we get the conversation focused. And as was responded by Keith, we have a history of two-minute clocks at ICANN, which I think is aiming at that precise point. And it's a best practice to focus one intervention to one topic. So we could definitely keep that in our rules. I think that's a very useful one. And as Avery is mentioning in the chat as well, we may have to resort to using the member base to determine consensus. If we find it appropriate, and we need to be aware that in the room will be also people who are less familiar with our work, because some of the participants to the Paris meeting may not have followed all the 40 telephone calls we've had so far, and the face to face. So that's. Of course, the use of the clock is the last resort measure. Moving on to, I think, a key aspect for this meeting, we'll have to decide what we can put into public comment number two, and I fully subscribe to the Avery's point earlier that we need to restrict the number of open questions to the minimum. Otherwise, we will certainly have to go through a third public comment. But we have a card which we can use when needed, which is the Workstream 1 versus Workstream 2 option. So I think it's very important that everyone goes into this meeting with a very clear reminder of what Workstream 1 definition we've been using, which is anything that could not be achieved after the transition has taken place if there was resistance from the ICANN structure. And that is certainly something we'll be discussing a lot during the meeting. We will also have to be very clear on the CWG requirements, which are by definition something that needs to be in place before the transition, and for the need for to achieve consensus amongst the members, but also after the members, obviously, in the chartering organizations. And those will certainly be our three key criteria for decisions and tools for managing the meeting. And finally, regarding the topics, you'll see on the screen and in the attachment you've received the list of topics we are planning to address. It's a very full agenda already, which is a concern, because that means we will have to be very efficient and focused. So we will start with the CWG requirements. A short introduction by Lisa Fuhr, the co-chair of the CWG stewardship, who will attend our meeting. Then we'll have a long Q&A with legal counsel to dig through their latest presentation, which will be provided in a package of documents. Then we'll start to review. We have the emerging items from Work Party 3 to review. We'll have some discussion on the stress test, as announced. The AOC reviews incorporation still has a couple of points to be decided on. And then we will get back to the community empowerment model, which is a big chunk of our work in the afternoon, to try and decide which reference model we put in public comment to, and hopefully we'll find an agreement on that. There will be also a couple of items on day one plus day two about government inputs, which is the next agenda item, so I'll get back to that. And then we'll have to review the different inputs from Work Party 1, Work Party 2, and Work Party 3, as announced in the various updates earlier. And with that, I think I have talked enough right now, and would like to hear from the group whether either in terms of meeting management rules or orientations or topics, there are any suggestions for amendments of the agenda or anything. Anna?
Thank you very much. I know it's the elephant in the room, so to speak, but there's, certainly on Work Party 1, as we've been going through the various specific parts, there are many questions which hinge on we're going to do it one way or another, but differently depending on which organizational model we pick. So for whatever it's worth, the earlier we can come to closure on that, the more likely we can actually come to closure on some of the other items. Otherwise, we're going to end up with some unknowns until we go back and close that loop. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. That's the idea of having this discussion early in day one for the Q&A, and then early afternoon for trying to make a decision. Thomas Schneider is next. Thomas?
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect.
Thank you, and hello to everybody. I have a comment, a quick explanation on the governmental input, and that leads me to a comment on the whole agenda of the and on the objective of the meeting. I know that you will discuss the government input later, but I just want to give you a little bit of information on this. As you may know how governments work, that we have to basically consult with all the administration, dealing with all stakeholders on national level, it has been very challenging for us, for governments, to participate with meaningful contributions in this process because of constantly changing and evolving documents, which is difficult to share with colleagues in your administration, with other stakeholders. So we are very happy that we have been able to make a contribution, not a GAC consensus contribution, to make this very clear. What you have received yesterday is not a GAC consensus. It's a compilation of national positions that have been elaborated on national levels. This is the best that we could get in this very short time. And that these national positions have been based on the documents that have been sent out for public comment, and then also knowing it or taking into account the discussions until and including Buenos Aires. So we have tried to basically invite people to give views on the latest stage of where we were at the end of Buenos Aires. And we're quite happy to have been able to give you something like a roughly 30 positions. And when you read them, you see that this is basically the state of the discussion in the GAC on some key aspects of the CWG work and the models that are on the table. And of course, there is not yet a consensus on many aspects of this work, but also on some underlying basic questions of the role of governments in an IG ecosystem and so on and so forth. This is also, for you to know, this is linked to the debate that exists for more than 10 years now since the World Summit on the Information Society, and there will be a big event in December in New York, the WISIS Plus 10 review process that will also deal with this inter alia. So there is a bigger framework that questions of like what is the role of governments in any internet governance ecosystem will be dealt with. Now, this input brings me to a reminder of for us all that we should maybe make one step back and look at this whole exercise on a little bit more of a meta level. What is it that we are supposed to do? We are supposed to give the necessary accountability mechanisms and elements for the transition to take place in Workstream 1 and then undergo a rather holistic review of ICANN's accountability mechanisms as a whole, which is Workstream 2. And we have taking into account the timeline that has presented to us by the NTIA and by ICANN, we basically should have all chartering organizations should be able to validate whatever comes out of the CCWG that is necessary to be validated for the CWG proposal and the ICG proposal to go ahead and for the transition to take place next year by June, to be implemented by June. We will have to validate the CCWG part of this work basically in Dublin in October, which is 3 months' time with some holiday periods in between. So this is the time frame that we are working in. And I wonder whether we should not take a little bit more time in the beginning to really also looking at the objectives that Mathieu has said in the beginning, we should know where we go to on all items that need to be resolved by October for the transition to happen. We should have a clear direction when we leave Paris. And maybe in order for this to actually be possible and not to overload the boat so that it can sail for the rest of the 3 months, it may be useful to really have a close look at the CWG proposal and the NTIA criteria and so on and so forth, so that we can really identify and maybe reassess the things that are absolutely necessary in terms of accountability mechanisms for the IANA transition to take place. That means what we need to have is accountability mechanisms that allow the NTIA to end the contract and to replace it with a new one, with this proposed structure, PTI structure. And that is already a challenging task, but I think that is possible. But everything that is not necessary for this transition to take place, for the NTIA to quit their limited function in the IANA process, everything that is not necessary for this transition to be made, if we keep, and there are a number of elements that are now under Workstream 1 and in the proposed mechanisms that when talking to many people, people are afraid that the boat is still overloaded and that we should move, not forget about it, but move whatever is not necessary to be in Workstream 1, move it to Workstream 2. So what I'm trying to say is that we should really start with an assessment of what is it that we absolutely need to get done, need to get consensus on by October, and leave out for the time being all the rest and put this into Workstream 2 and then develop a clearer process for Workstream 2 until Dublin. Because if whatever we keep in Workstream 1 that is not necessary significantly raises the risk that whether it will be governments or it will be CCTLDs or whatever part of the community, we may not have a consensus and chartering organizations may not be able to adopt and validate the proposal by October. And I'll end with this for the time being. That one point that I think we should keep in mind is that when you ask all stakeholders what is the key expectation for with regard to the IANA transition, what should be guaranteed, then probably what people will say is stability. We want, and predictability, we want the IANA function to continue to work stably and in a predictable way. So with all the respect and the interest in developing community empowerment model for the whole of ICANN, which is an absolutely exciting idea, I just want to invite you to think whether we should not whether the IANA function is the right space to test or to implement or work on a new community empowerment mechanism in a very, very short time frame, which would be of high risk in case something goes wrong. We cannot afford something going wrong with the IANA function. So maybe we really have to focus on what is needed in terms of accountability mechanisms that guarantee a high stability, predictability of the IANA function, building on how it works now and keeping in mind what the replacement of the NTIA actually means in terms of concrete mechanisms as they are proposed in the CWG proposal. What do we need there? And whether it would not be better to defer working on a community empowerment mechanism, which is more fundamental in terms of involving a number of significant changes in the ICANN structure, testing this on a safer ground, for instance, in Workstream 2, for instance, testing this on something like ICANN budget, ICANN strategic plan, and so on and so forth, see how this model works for 1 or 2 years, and then maybe make a few adaptations to the model, but give it a safer area to try out this very exciting model. But really, for the time being, until October, use the time to concentrate on the main goal to keep a stable and predictable, to make a stable and predictable transition of the IANA function and nothing else. Because that's a challenging task, and we should not overload it with whatever is not absolutely necessary, because that is a risk to us fulfilling the task. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas. I think it'd be great if everyone kept a number of the things you mentioned in mind when coming to Paris and were prepared to actually assess what in the proposals they hold dear in their heart they would be prepared to move towards them too. However, I think we wouldn't be actually fulfilling the expectations from the community if we did not start with the CWG requirements. And that's what we're planning to do in the agenda, and which we mean we need to take very seriously what these community requirements are about. And I would definitely encourage everyone, including GAC representatives, obviously, to say, okay, I was asking for this, but I'm prepared to consider this moving to Workstream 2. What I think is dangerous is if everyone start thinking that by pushing to Workstream 2 it's going to be all right and without a proper assessment. And we need to be extremely careful about this. So I guess this is going to be core in most of the discussions on any topics. And we need to make sure by we manage the balance right in this discussion. And I see a queue has been forming, so I have Becky on the line.
Hi, thank you. Becky Burr for the record. First of all, I wanted to say to Thomas that I at least found the GAC compiled views extremely, extremely helpful and interesting. It really gave me a sense of the conversation at the moment within the GAC. I recognize it's not consensus, but I think it was a really useful contribution, and I think, you know, it's an interesting innovation in the way the GAC works that could work in other settings just to keep the community fully informed about where, you know, the state of discussions. So thanks for that. Second, on the question of sort of pushing things to Workstream 2, I predict that what we just heard, well, first of all, I think that the goal has always been to do in Workstream 1 only what is needed to ensure that Workstream 2 can be accomplished, and that's an important goal to keep in mind, and I support Matthew's suggestion that we all need to examine, you know, what that really consists of. But I do think that we're going to begin to hear more calls to sort of decouple accountability and the IANA transition. As Matthew said, that is not our charge. The community charged us with working on this, consensus view of the community that those things were inherently coupled and could not be decoupled. So that's just my comment on that.
Thanks, Becky. Next is Thomas.
Thank you, Mathieu, and thank you, Thomas, for your comments. I'd just like to respond briefly and say that, Thomas, what you're suggesting is more or less in line with what Mathieu had said earlier. We will have to consider what inevitably needs to be done in Workstream 2 versus in Workstream 1 versus what can be dealt with in Workstream number 2. I would caution that we need to make sure that by stripping down too many things, we jeopardize acceptance, both in terms of CWG requirements as well as requirements by the U.S. government. But maybe we all take your intervention as an encouragement to think about ways between today and our meeting in Paris of actually reducing our workload in Workstream 1 and keeping things for Workstream 2. And having said that, let me just go on record reminding everyone that even if we deal with work items in Workstream number 2, it's not gone. It's just being dealt with at a later stage. And as long as we ensure that nothing is swept under the carpet in Workstream number 2, I think we can afford to deal with things at a later stage. But what I think we need at this stage are very, very concrete proposals in terms of what can be done later and in terms of how we approach it later so that we have a good rationale for moving items to Workstream number 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. I think this gives us a flavor of the kind of discussions we'll have to undertake in Paris. And I've noted a comment from Jordan in the chat that we need to also be careful about shifting our positions from the initial report if it hasn't been one of the feedback we've received in the public comment. That's something we need to be very
conservative about because of the risk of a pushback in the second public comment, and that's a risk we need to take into account as well. I think we'll certainly proceed with this discussion. It was very useful contribution from Thomas Schneider, and something I hope everyone can take home, that Workstream 1 versus Workstream 2 is going to be one of the key discussions we'll have in Paris, whether we are meeting the CWG requirements, the NTIA requirements as well, obviously. It's certainly another key expectation. And then the third is the consensus, the acceptability of our proposals in terms of finding the consensus that is required. So with that, we'll certainly have to tweak the agenda based on the input we get from the various discussion points in the frozen package. I would like to respond to a question that was raised in the chat. The documents will be frozen at 23:59 UTC tonight, July the 14th. And staff will be working at compiling all documents into a package that will be put up on the wiki with an option to download everything as one single download. So it will be possible to download it easily. It's a bit early for me to commit to a certain delivery date of the frozen package, but rest assured it's going to be something we'll work on. We have a call planned later tonight to try and finalize this. And I know it's important for a number of people who will be starting to travel at that time. So the next agenda item was actually a quick discussion on the GAC input we've received. So I think it was largely introduced already by Thomas. It's a compilation of GAC members' contributions, so not a GAC comment per se, nor a GAC advice. And it's extremely useful. If you really encourage everyone to look through it to see the various inputs from the government on those questions that were defined by the GAC during this Buenos Aires meeting. And I want to also inform the group that we have commissioned staff to provide a quick summary and analysis of these inputs, to look at the convergence of positions from the various governments or divergence when that happens. And so we will introduce a summary. So the summary will be in the package. It should be ready by the frozen deadline. But I would encourage everyone to read the whole document as well as the summary in preparation for the discussions we'll have in Paris. And I don't know if there's anything else to mention on this input from collection of inputs from the GAC. Anything? No question. I think we've had the key questions. And that's taking us very close to the end of our call, because we're reaching the any other business. And I know, Leon, you wanted to update on a recent coordination call you attended.
Yes, Matthew, thank you very much. This is Leon Sanchez again. We held a meeting on last week. This was a coordination call with the chairs of the ICG, the CWG, the CCWG, and the different SOs and ACs, as well as Fadi Shehade and board members, and Larry Strickland from the NTIA. And the aim or the intent for this call is a coordination call that will be happen monthly. We saw a timeline that was showed in Buenos Aires. This timeline had three phases, And as I said, the aim of this call is to coordinate the different actors to keep up to date everyone on the progress that each of the different actors is doing. So in this call, there will be recordings and transcripts. This will be public records, of course. So far as I can tell, the calls are not open to observers. So far, they are only open to those members that I just said, being chairs of the CCWG, CWG, ICG, etc. But there sure will be recordings and transcripts from these meetings. And some of the topics that we discussed were, of course, the timeline. Pretty much everyone is looking into our Paris meeting. They have very high expectations on what we must achieve, and they are concerned, of course, that we must reach some kind of document for our public comment period number two. And I mean, everyone is aware that the whole transition is depending on us, and we need to work it out in Paris so we can keep the transition going and in time. And this call, as I said, will be held monthly, and I am sure that we will be keeping you posted, as well as handing you or circulating the recordings and transcripts from each of these meetings. So that is the update with regards to these monthly calls, and I'll handle it back to Mathieu.
Thank you, Leon. I think we are at the end of the agenda, so unless there are any last points to be raised, I'd like to say that we, and I see Everard, and your hand is raised, Everard, so please take the floor.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Everard, perfect.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I sent an email about a face-to-face in or before then. Have you received that email, and have you started to think about this?
Oh, thank you very much. That's an oversight on our side. We have started discussing this with staff, and that's a good thing to actually check with the group. Currently, we would consider a meeting before Dublin on the Friday to make sure we recap our final proposals, as well as a meeting on the Thursday, a shorter one, which would be dedicated to either celebrating the fact that our proposals have been approved by the chartering organizations, or crying out loud if that's not the case and we have to reconsider some things and be classified by the rest of the community. So we would, I think we are planning to circulate an email with this this draft arrangement, and would finalize the arrangement at a later call, probably after Paris. But that's the way we are seeing things so far. And yes, Rosemary, Friday before, Thursday after. And I think staff has an action item from one of our prep calls to circulate the email, but we'll put it another time in the notes for this call. Okay, and with that, thanks to every contributor to the different documents that we are looking forward to receiving in the frozen version. I know there's still a lot of work to do for finalizing, and I really, really look forward to seeing you all on Thursday, or for some of you on Friday morning in Paris for this meeting, which will certainly be very exciting and hopefully productive. Thanks, everyone, and see you very soon.
Thank you. Safe travels, everyone. Bye.